This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 344, bringing on the Bella. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today's podcast is also sponsored by Doghouse. Get great gaming computers made by gamers, for gamers, at doghousesystems.com and use the code BACON for double the memory. Another sponsor of the show is the Guild Clan Bushido of U.S. Ner'zhul Realm, Alliance side. With core values including respect for other players and a drama-free gaming experience, as well as a no-hate speech rule, this is a guild you can call home. Visit them at clanbushido.net or roll on over to Ner'zhul to get in touch.
For the Alliance!
For the Horde!
For the news!
For the opinions!
For the lore!
For the achievements!
For the raiders!
For the discovery!
For the pets.
For the community.
And most of all, for you.
This is All Things Azeroth,
your World of Warcraft podcast.
And now your hosts, Medros and Ro.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros, and with me, of course, I have Ro. How you doing there, Ro?
I'm doing great. I love Mondays.
Except when they announce 10 million new things on the Monday, right?
Oh, yeah, but that actually didn't happen. Here I was all day waiting, you know, I finished recording the other podcast thing I do, and I'm waiting for the news to drop. I'm waiting to have to make all these changes in our show notes and my show and all that, and I keep on waiting for the announcement that, okay, all right, Blizzard, tell me it's going to happen. And no, everything's all hunky-dory, not a peep, not a mouse, nothing. So I think things are okay. It's not a very newsy week, but I think we're going to have a great show nonetheless today.
I agree. So we announced last week they were going to have Blizz Planet on the show. You may have seen a few things in the news this week around the community about that site. So we decided to postpone that a little bit. Just because, yeah, we don't want to rile any feathers and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, it's kind of a complicated issue. And there's, of course, with things that are controversial, there's multiple sides to the story and all. And we're not ones to label right or wrong or judge the issue, especially when it's still relatively fresh and new. So I think it's just best to let the air clear on that, and you know, maybe at a later time revisit that and have Blizz Planet on the show. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we do have a guest though this week. We didn't break our promise. We'd still have a guest this week. We wanted to invite somebody who from the community who we thought was pretty cool, who has a really cool voice and knows a fair bit about the game, pretty passionate about it from what I've heard so far. So I want you guys to say hello to Elizabella.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
That's good. Are you having a nice day today?
Yes, it is Monday, and I love Mondays.
That's good. So, kind of around this point is when we would kind of start asking a few questions, like, you know, how your week was, and, you know, about, you know, you and stuff like that, but...
Right.
Well, I have something else that, you know, so the back of my head, I can't quite remember what I was going to say. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Welcome to the show. You're going to be our new co-host.
Thanks, I'm so excited.
So, it kind of played out like this, guys. I got this email from Fufu McFiery when he found out that Elizabella was going to be a guest on the show. And Fufu McFiery basically wrote a very serious letter to me and said, Ro, if Elizabella is not made the third co-host of All Things Azeroth, bad things will happen. Hugs and kisses,
oh,
Fufu
no.
McFiery.
You don't want to fight him. He could really blow up that attempt to get Green Fire Frame, man.
You know, it could be that Fufu McFiery is actually one of those three fell hunters I run into in disguise all this time. I never thought about that. That's possible.
I really think he was the one who was withholding your green fire, Ro. I really do.
It's possible, but...
He was holding it hostage.
He's still holding it hostage, but no, we're very, very excited to have you on as the third host of All Things Azeroth, and I know for a lot of people this may seem like it's coming entirely out of left field. It's like, what? But Medros and I have talked about this for a little while, and we think you would make an awesome addition to the team, so welcome.
Oh, and...
Thank you.
And somebody else wanted to say something to you, too.
What? Who?
Well, one second here. Let me bring him in here.
Elizabella, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness! MacGyver, I am a huge fan of yours, and thank you, MacGyver. Thank you so much. I've been listening to Spare Parts for, like, ever. Yeah, seriously, I'm a fan of you. Really, truly. I know it's a shock, but you are, like, the coolest engineer that I know.
I think he's the coolest engineer most of us know, because most of the rest of them are blown up by now.
I agree, and I know some people are kind of, like, surprised. They're like, oh my goodness. And I was surprised as well. Some people are kind of wondering, they're like, but she's on Epic Questions. But not anymore. So I'm moving on and joining the Dawnforge family, and just super excited for this opportunity.
One thing I've learned from listening to WoW podcasts is... Nothing ever stays the same for too long, and things are always in flux when it comes to WoW Podcasts. But all the same, very happy to have you on. And as far as MacGyver, I think he's probably one of the only engineers I know, because Goblin and Gnome engineers do tend to blow themselves up. Torn engineers, I think, are a bit more meticulous.
I don't know. I don't, sadly, have any engineers. Please don't hate me, MacGyver. I just don't have any. I don't have the patience. I've thought about it, come pretty close, but never took that leap.
I'm sure he can forgive you.
I'm sure he will.
MacGyver in the
yes.
chat says you
yes,
have a
I
new
do.
WoW goal.
Eventually, I'll get there. I've been playing WoW long enough to know that I'll get to see everything eventually.
So, yeah. That's the big news that I've kind of been hinting at for the last 24 hours or so. Like I said, we are very excited to have Elizabeth on the show. She's going to definitely bring a very unique perspective, and we are all for the cutting, that's all I'm going to say.
Speak
for
yourself.
Because you know, I love things that are cute and cuddly and squishy because I love them.
Oh, and so it begins.
Exactly.
Well, Elizabella, while I'm in EbelisCon, maybe I'll send you a plushie or two that are nice and cuddly and cute.
And there's the first squee of the show.
Now, I do hope you guys will all be very kind, and Poikelsetten, I think that I don't have your email in front of me. Sorry about that. But you had sent an entry in. That entry will still be accepted. Any furthers that include her will not be. Just gonna say.
Aw, that's so sweet of you. See, I like Poikelsetten because they always tweet such really sweet things, and they're just, like, so cute. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but they're just so cute, and they're so nice.
Very much so.
I thought so.
I'm pretty sure about that.
It's
pretty
girl.
Sure about that, too.
I thought so, too. Yeah. Anyways.
But, yes, your entry, as I said, Poikelsetten, will be accepted for the get-and-give contest. No further entries that include Elizabeth will be included, though. my apologies to Elizabella, but I want to make sure that everybody understands that Coase can't win the prize. Other than that, if that is the best entry we have, then there may be a prize there, but we'll see. But do get your entries in, because we do want to get more entries. We've had some really cool ones so far, though. So, let's move on. How was your week in WoW, Ro?
My week in WoW was all right. Again, it's kind of the same, more of the same of the past couple weeks. However, one thing I can say is, you might recall last week I talked about how I've been trying to collect the whole Secrets of the Empire for that leg of the Legendary Quest, and only one dropped out of 12 Raid Finder bosses. Well, everything balanced out this past week, because I got 5 more out of 12 looking for raid bosses this past week. So I jumped from 9 to 14. I now need 6 more secrets to go. I doubt I'll get that this week. If I do, it'll be great, but even then, it's not like I'd be done right away, because then you have the whole legendary scenario that you have to do, and I think you have one more collection leg that you have to do, and then I can do the 5.3 content once 5.3 is live. But closing in on getting that metagem for my headpiece. And besides that, just a little pet battling, a little farming, but not a whole lot of stuff. Raiding outside of Raid Finder has been kind of minimal, because it's just one of those situations where the attendance boss is just striking hard and heavy, and one or two critical people in the group tend to be missing on any given night. I'm hoping tonight's different, but we'll see. That's pretty much my week. Any kind of interesting stuff you did in WoW this week, Elizabella?
Not really. I was sick, as you can tell. I don't normally sound like this. I've been sick for the past 10 days. Going on 11. Yay! And I haven't really had a lot of time to play.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did step in, I actually did my children's week. I took my two little orphans all around the world and got a few pets out of the deal. Finally, after 4 years, I got my veteran nanny achievement.
Rats.
After getting the wrong pet on my main. So then I was like, oh crap. So I went onto my horde toon and I said, okay, I'm sure she's my oldest toon. I'm sure she only needs one more pet. Victory. So she only needed one more pet. So I finally got my veteran nanny achievement. So I never have to do Children's Week again. Ever. Yes. I know. Really excited about that. Did some raiding. Not a lot. I didn't step in and do normal raiding this week, because I was just too sick to sit through 25-man tot. I just couldn't sit through it for the 3 hours. So I was like, I'll pass this week. What else did I do? Oh, I did some pet catching. Because you guys probably know that I don't battle, I just catch. I like to catch them, but I'm starting to hit the problem where my highest level pet is level 10. So I can't really catch that many.
Yeah, if you want to catch the Pandaria ones, you're going to need to consider possibly fighting at some point. Or just not capture the Pandaria ones.
Well, I know. I'm getting there slowly, because I really don't care if it's gray or white or blue or green. I really don't care. I just like to have it.
Right.
So sometimes I'll just stop after the first one if it's yellow. No yellows. If it's blue, I'm like, ooh, now I don't have to catch any more. And sometimes I'll try to get a green one, but I'm not really that picky. Because, really, it's still a cute and cuddly pet, so it doesn't matter.
What is your favorite in your collection?
My favorite in my collection would have to be my Cinder Kitty, which is adorable. I love my Cinder Kitty.
It's becoming more and more clear why Fufu McFiery demanded you be on the show.
I know, because I love it. But I also like my Terrible Turnip, because it's kind of like, if I'm going up against a level 1 pet, I'm just like, eh, Go ahead, terrible turnip. One hit him so he gets to just one health so I can just catch him easily with my little box.
Right.
But I also like my baby blizzard bear because it's really cute. Most of my pets are adorable. But I did catch a new one today in the gnome starting area. And I'm probably going to butcher the name of it, but it's like this mechanical cat.
That would be one of Medros's favorites.
Medros, do you know what it's called? Felix something or the other?
That would be the Fluxfire Feline.
Yes, well, I caught a blue one today on the first try.
Nice!
So I saved him, and I started leveling him, and I was like, ooh. So I think he's becoming my new favorite, because he hits really hard. And I think he's kind of neat. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I did. Then had a harsh realization today when I logged in that I didn't have a stitch of valor for the entire week.
Ooh.
Like, zero earned this week.
I don't either.
So, there's no way in heck I'm going to get that much valor. So, eh, screw it.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. I didn't valor cap this week. I mean, I came close. I think I got 800 valor. This past week, the incentive to Valor Cap just really hasn't been there. I think now, as long as 5.3 doesn't surprise us in the morning tomorrow, I really hope that doesn't happen.
you really must be hoping that.
You know it's not coming tomorrow.
It's a 3 a.m. to 11 a.m.
thinking.
It's a 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. mountains tomorrow.
I know.
It's a long one.
I would say right now...
I have too much to do. I'm not ready. I only have 13 of those little thingamabobbers.
But,
I am not prepared!
Sorry. What was that again that you just said?
Me?
Yes.
I said, I am not prepared!
Oh, because I thought you said this.
You are not prepared.
Yeah, I may have said that.
Sorry, it's been a long time since I used that. Sorry.
Well, I just kind of say whatever I feel like it, so...
Yes, yes.
I kind of have a limited filter, and I like to have fun, so I think I'll be a good fit.
No complaints so far.
You'll do fine. Oh, and I didn't want to play this earlier here. I completely forgot, though.
What up, champions? This is Chris Metzen, and you're listening to All Things Azeroth.
Even Chris Metzen is on your first show. How about that?
Aww. Now, if you could bring David Tennant on, that would make me a really happy fangirl.
Who?
Ro? Are you serious?
No, pun intended. Who, anyway? Never mind.
Oh, okay. I was like, if you don't know who David Tennant is, then we've got a problem. And I can educate you after the show.
Okay. But yeah, my week this week was pretty good. Got a bit of time in WoW, not as much as I would have liked. Got some farming done, got some additions to my monk buff. Didn't really get a lot of time to play, though. Still have not gotten any further in TOT. Yeah, hoping this weekend, if Iron Man 3 and a WoW meetup and playing Simpsons tapped out, if that all doesn't get in my way, then I might get some time in WoW this weekend. And moving on right along, but yes, I really haven't had a chance much, but hoping to get some more time and maybe some raiding time this weekend if I can.
Raiding is fun. It's fun for everyone.
Yes, it can be fun.
It's especially fun when people know what they're doing on Lei Shen in Raid Finder, or when Lei Shen just gets nerfed to the ground and people don't even need to know what they're doing on Lei Shen on Raid Finder.
Did Lei Shen get nerfed?
Lei Shen did get nerfed. His health got nerfed by 10% last week, and some of the mechanics became a lot more forgiving, especially the static shock, that whole stack up on whoever has the blue arrow. That's become a lot more forgiving. The main thing that you know someone is new to Lei Shen on Raid Finder when they don't understand the whole bouncing bolt mechanic, where you actually want to stand in the spot so the adds don't appear.
Yeah, I just kind of run around like a chicken with my head cut off because I've only
You're
been
not
there
alone.
Like twice. I'm just like, oh my god! no, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I just follow somebody and hope for an early death.
And that is why Lei Shen got nerfed.
Elizabeth, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have alerts on your phone or anything like that to let you know when people tweet about you?
Yes, but I have it on silent.
Okay, well, it's about to buzz a lot for you, just to let you know. Just wanted to be aware of that.
Oh, how come?
We call it the tweet cannon.
Oh, here it goes. The first one just went off.
while you enjoy the notoriety of just being tweeted by like a dozen accounts, let me talk about our Haster got maybe to it. Okay. Let me talk about our first sponsor. Our first sponsor is the great folks over at Audible. They make absolutely great audiobooks, and I really do want to recommend everybody check them out because they are really, really great. They have so many different books from different genres, different universes. You're going to find something everywhere you want. Every genre, every style of book. You were saying, Elizabeth, that you are a David Tennant fan, right?
Yes. Yes, I am. Very much so.
Okay, well, I'm gonna just play this here for you without further comment, and we'll be back after this small sample of an Audible pick.
Tell you what, though, said Jackie. She's wearing your earrings. Rose took off one and held it up by the statue's ear. Identical. That's incredible, she said. So detailed. She slipped the real earring into the pocket of her denim jacket and grinned. Looks like I've got a future ahead of me as an artist's model. I've always fancied that. She found it quite hard to tear herself away from her stone double, but as the doctor pointed out, if she stayed there looking at it forever, then it would never get made and they'd all be swallowed up in a terrible paradox. So she let herself be led away. They lost the doctor in the Egyptian section again, and Jackie went off to see if she could find a postcard of her stone daughter. Rose and Mickey stood together in the entrance, waiting. So how'd you find out about it? Asked Rose after a few moments' silence. Not your usual haunt this, is it?
So that is, of course, David Tennant narrating the Doctor Who audiobook, The Stone Rose. And you can find that and over 100,000 other titles over at bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. And we thank them for sponsoring the show. Isabella, if you still have a voice from that rather loud squeak that I'm pretty sure I heard up here in Canada, though I'm not really that far from you, I am curious, is there anybody else that I can, you know, bring in on the show to have you here on your first episode?
I don't know. I'm just in a state of, like, holy bananas. Like, I am floored and shocked and surprised and honored and amazed, and if only the chat room could have heard when you guys asked me, I was like, excuse me? Me? What?
I do record all calls.
Oh boy. That'll end up in a blooper reel someday.
Maybe at the end of the show we'll play that. Assuming that I can bleep out any things that shouldn't be aired.
Yeah.
There might have been
one or two words
that shall not be mentioned. I'm trying to be nice.
I know. But I think we're pretty good.
Well, I think you've so far made a great addition, and I'm confident you'll continue to do so.
Thank you. I really appreciate that you guys have all this faith in me. You know, I haven't been podcasting long, and I've been blogging and just starting to get a taste of the WoW community, and I am totally honored that you would think of me to be a part of Dawnforge, and especially to be on All Things Azeroth. Like, I have been listening to All Things Azeroth for a very long time, and I'm just amazed. I am dumbfounded. My husband is amazed. He's like, what? They asked you what? And I'm like, yes, yes, dear. And he goes, holy crap. So it's just amazing.
Well, let's get on with the next show. And again, a warm welcome to the family. And no, I'm not going to try and do a gangster accent. It just doesn't work very well. I'm too Canadian to be a gangster. I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with being Canadian.
Or being gangster.
Right. We love everyone.
I sadly don't have the fedora to make it fit, you know, sorry. Let's start with our first topic, though. Some pretty big hype for 5.3 that went on this week, and I was actually kind of hoping or expecting that we'd see a release candidate late last week, but alas, we did not. But Blizzard did kind of get those who have not paid attention caught up on 5.3 with some really great backstory and a kind of a description of what's happened so far since the Pandaren events have begun. Like talking about the beginning of the events and what happened when we got to the island, as well as what happened in 5.2 and 5.1, including the Isle of Thunder and the changes to the Elder Charms of Good Fortune. I'm curious, what was your... So looking back, you know, we're almost at 5.3. Looking back at 5.2, what was your guys' favorite part of that?
I think my favorite part, I would have to say, is the dinosaur mounts. Like, I totally loved grouping up with my guildies and flying around the entire, you know, world to try to hunt down the rares to kill the dinosaurs to get the mounts. And I'll never forget when I got mine, I was in a group with several of my guildies, and I volunteered to come and help, and they had been doing it for hours, and they hadn't seen one drop, and then one dropped, and the other woman I was with got it, and they hadn't seen another. We had been doing it for a couple hours, and then another one dropped, and I got it. And to this day, my friend Garode, who is listening right now, still doesn't have one, because the two ladies he was doing that quest with got it first.
That can make you a little frustrated if you don't get what you're looking for.
Yeah, I agree. But I also liked the change to the amount of Elder Charms that you need. That was awesome. I'm glad that it's 50 instead of 90. Very glad.
How about you, Ro?
What's been my favorite part of the expansion up to now?
5.2 or the expansion, whichever.
Of 5.2... Honestly, I'd have to say I liked what they did with rares on the Isle of Thunder. Now, given the first week of it when I was trying to farm the Green Fire Tome, I didn't really like it too much. Because the only thing I could do, it felt like, to get that tome was farm rares. But overall, I think what they've done with the rares and making them, you know, shareable by whoever tags them, having the hit points scale when multiple people work on them, I think that was probably one of the best changes they've done as far as rare spawns go, and I hope they apply that to future content when it comes to rare spawns. I think that was a step in the right direction for how to handle those. The treasure room, I thought that was pretty neat. I liked the solo scenario content. I'm kind of hoping that we get more solo scenario content that's possibly repeatable. Not necessarily, you know, repeatable like the treasure room, but I'd like to see some of that solo scenario stuff that can be done, you know, maybe just once a day. You may not be able to spam it and stuff, but having more solo content out there definitely isn't a bad thing. The expansion's not over, so we may yet still see some of that stuff. Saving it for special events and occurrences is fine and great, too. I just like to see some of that be repeatable, because it'll help those that want to do things on their own and on their own time have a little more to do. So, those would be the highlights from 5.2 for me. How about you?
You know, I really enjoyed the story of the Isle of Thunder. Really, really enjoyed, you know, how it came together, how it kind of teased us as to what was going to happen in the next patch. I do think that they may have poorly planned things, because I know a lot of people who were done to Exalted before the island was done. So I think that was kind of one of those things they didn't really plan very well. It was a good island. I enjoyed doing it. The questing was fun. I think, personally, if they want to do a Spider-Man area in every patch, I will be happy to do so, because I loved that area.
Yep, that was a fun part for me, too. It's funny that you say that you like the story and stuff. While I won't say that the story was bad in 5.2, I'd actually have to say that was one of the things that I felt was a little flat, and that may seem interesting to say, but I thought that there would be a bit more Horde Alliance conflict interaction, and we really don't see that until the last leg of the 5.2 plot. I mean, you know that Horde are on one area of the aisle, Alliance are on the other. You don't really see them clash or have any exchange until near the end of that whole story. I was hoping that there'd be a bit more interplay there. But yeah, I think 5.3 is definitely going to make up for that, considering the content that's being teased.
See, I really enjoyed, like, that very last scenario when the name of the panda escapes me, but he's bleeding and he's, like, dragging his body with all that he has left to the middle to show everyone, this is what your conflict has done. Look at what you've done. And I just looked at it and I was like, holy cow. Like, I stopped and I was like, look at what we're doing. I loved the story. Every time the aisle opened again and again with the next phase, I was like, I'm going to help Jaina. I'm going to fight beside Jaina. And I was just like, for Jaina, for the Alliance. It just made me so happy. And that last story, that last scenario, oh, it got me. But I really enjoyed that option of the individual scenarios this patch. I loved it, and I'm looking forward to it again.
Do you wish that now, we've already done those things in the story, and they said that those weren't repeatable, but if you had the option to replay them for, say, 10 Valor points, would you want to?
Yes, I would. I would be all over that. Would you? Would either of you?
I definitely would.
Yeah, for
sure. I think 10 Valor, even 5 Valor, I think may be a little small, but I think repeating a solo scenario for a 10 Valor point reward, like, once a day, I'm down with that.
What about you, Medros?
Some little Caverns of Time thing.
I think I would. The solo scenarios were a lot of fun. There's definitely some that I would do more on certain characters, like the opening of the mine. I don't think I would do on my druid because he was kind of squishy there. Yeah, I think I'd do those again.
Yeah, see, I play a DK, so I could just face roll through all of it. But I know people.
And you sounded so nice.
I'm sorry. But I know that play Clothies that were like, some of these scenarios are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this.
Well, you
the
see,
one where you have to fly around and then, like, jump on the backs and then you have to kill the different people. I was like, yeah, good luck for that one, Mr. Healer Priestie.
Well, you see, if those solo scenarios could be replayable, it would. You could add in possibly achievements tied to those solo scenarios. Once your character gets geared enough that you could do certain things like down the end boss of the solo scenario, meeting certain requirements and such. I think having those solo scenarios as one-shot things, on one hand, is nice because it makes it feel like, you know, a special kind of thing. But considering a lot of the stuff we do when it comes to five-man dungeons and the three-player scenarios, those are things that we repeat pretty often anyhow. I don't think there's anything wrong with making solo scenarios repeatable. And I think it can add a bit more to the gameplay for the person who tends to be a lone wolf when it comes to WoW.
Yeah, plus it gives the developers who created those, you know, more than just a one-shot deal.
Right, it makes the time spent creating them a bit more worth it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
They also did preview in the articles this week some of the scenarios that are coming up with the new patch. I recall back when we first heard about this expansion, my co-host at the time, Shade, had some predictions about us going and doing something on the high seas.
She was right. I told you, she's a genius.
Disturbing.
That woman, she is amazing.
So, we do have a scenario called Battle on the High Seas, where, of course, the battle goes to the high seas. That one, I think, sounds really neat, and I'm very, very interested to see how that's going to go. I have not spoiled myself for any of these scenarios. None of the quests or anything that open up the Barons and Durotar, none of that stuff. I'm intrigued.
I'd have to say the one I'm most interested in would have to be the Secrets of Rage Fire.
I was just thinking that.
Well, because the funny thing about Rage Fire is, up until Cataclysm, Rage Fire was a certain way. Then they changed the bosses and they changed Rage Fire somewhat. Gave it a bit of an overhaul, kind of like Dead Mines, but not entirely. There was no heroic mode or anything. And now you have this scenario that's taking place in Rage Fire, possibly continuing a bit of the story there, and I'm wondering if they're going to take elements from the current Rage Fire Chasm and further explore them. I haven't done, unlike the other patches, I have actually done nothing on the PTR with 5.3, again, keeping a lot of this stuff to be surprised about. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the Rage Fire one, and Bella, you said you are too, right?
Well, looking at it, yeah, I'm also really looking forward to Blood in the Snow. I think mostly because of where it takes place, and that it looks like it's going to be primarily an Alliance scenario, where we're going to help, you know, the Alliance, you know, maintain their city, and I'm just all about protecting the Alliance. Looks good.
You know, I realized something.
Yes?
If I can get my monk to level 90, which should be a lot easier because one of the things 5.3 does is cut down the experience of getting the level 90, and I think my monk's at 87 right now, so it'll probably ding 88 when 5.3 goes live. But if I can get my monk to level 90 and, you know, get him some gear, and actually part of the thing about one of these articles is they give you some tips and guide and a guide for how to get your eye level boosted up in a relatively short period of time. Get my monk's item level boosted up to 496, or no, actually 480. Get to 480, then technically I could queue with you and Medros, and the three of us could do a heroic scenario.
We totally should do this. I would be open for that. That's what the whole purpose of CRZ is for. Yep. Just saying.
And folks, I'll put it out as a video, because I'm sure it'll be humorous as heck.
Yeah, I'll probably be dying, like, religiously. Please don't expect me to tank, because Elizabella is not a tank. I could if I had to, but it would be pitiful.
Well, that's the cool thing about scenarios. You don't have to necessarily have tanks or healers.
I have a tank spec, but it's not pretty.
What would you say is the hardest thing about tanking for you?
That I'm not good at it. I don't really have the gear for it, for one. And I'm more of a frost. Like, I'm a frost. Two-handed frost DPS. I've always been frost. Even when frost was unpopular, I've always been frost. Like, I've never spent a significant amount of time as unholy. And thankfully, all my raid leaders and guild leaders have been like, it's okay, be the DK you want to be. So I've been able to do that. And
blood DKs are far more different than they used to be before they made blood DKs the tank spec, so...
Yeah, see, my husband has... My husband also has a DK when he plays. He's semi-retired from WoW right now. And he plays a tank. He's always been a tank. So I was always the DPS. So I just learned a DPS and he learned a tank. Well, he showed me how to tank. It was bad. It was really, really bad. Like, I can't hold threat. I forget to re-put up my dots. I forget my bone shield. It's just pitiful. And I've wiped heroics. And people are like, learn to tank, noob. I'm like, I'm trying. Yeah, so I only tank when there's a satchel involved.
Ah.
My DPS gear.
The satchel of exotic non-fail mysteries.
You can get some really good stuff out of that, like pets.
I know. And yeah. Supposedly you can get those out of raid finder bags, supposedly. I've yet to see a single person in raid finder open one of those bags and I see a mount or a pet be obtained. I've seen people obtain blood spirits.
I've gotten a pet out of one before.
I've seen people obtain gems. Oh yeah, what pet did you get?
I got my pet. I was in LFR and I was killing Jaikun, And I got the Jaikun pet out of my bag on that boss.
Yeah, shut up.
22,000 gold on my server for that one.
Yeah, I got it, and I learned it right away, and everyone's like, aren't you going to sell it? I'm like, no, it's cute. It looks just like the boss. And it was blue.
And here I was hoping you'd give me a gift for having you on the show.
Well, I would have to get another one.
I'm joking.
I know you are.
Okay, just making sure. Don't people think I'm serious when I'm joking?
Yeah,
see, mad at me.
Corian in the chat room says, my wife got an emerald hatchling off of one of those bags. Yeah, I know Alice did.
What?
Yeah. They're,
man,
you got, I'm telling
I need
you,
to be in your guys' raid finders.
You've got to come
to
Undermine
anyone.
US. Like, it's a medium population server. It's fun. It's great. It's mostly Alliance. And, you know, pets are rolling around all over the place.
The only thing I got from a fail bag so far, other than gold, is a mana potion on my paladin who never runs out of mana.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's almost as good as getting one on a DK. I'm sorry. Or
yep.
A rogue.
I'm there with you. I get mana potions all the time, and I'm like, dude, I'm a DK. What am I going to do with that?
I never run out of mana. Never. Maybe if we were to tank spec, maybe. Ugh. Disgusting. Disgusting.
Exactly.
Ghostcrawler, improve that fail bag.
But it is possible to get good stuff out of the bag. You just have to have good RNG. Which I have none of. So, you know. Not a lot of. I have some. Not a lot. A wee little bit.
Of all four scenarios that I'm seeing here previewed, I think the most spoilery one, I think, is Dark Heart of Pandaria, if I've heard correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that says some stuff that people have been asking for a very, very long time.
Actually, the stuff that people have been asking about for a very long time is part of a quest that's tied to some of the 5.3 content. But there's other stuff revealed in Dark Heart of Pandaria that's very spoilerific. But the thing that you're thinking about, the thing that people have been asking Dave Kozak about, as far as, I don't know, a seventh Shaw, that is tied to a quest that everyone will get to do in 5.3.
A seventh Shaw? I thought we already had six of them. Isn't
there
six
were seven
enough?
Heads. There right. were seven heads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Boy, that's right, there were.
Yep.
So give me my Shaw touched? Oh, wait, that's a story for another day. That was
we don't want touching Shaw. Yeah, we don't go there. No, don't go there. No. That's
but I didn't know there it had seven heads, and there were seven Shaws. So this is news to me.
Read your lore.
I have a confession to make.
Okay.
My name is Elizabella, and I have never really read lore.
Medros, who have we brought on the show?
I don't know, Ro. I'm beginning
but
to second-guess
learning,
myself.
And I'm a fast learner. And
how many books have you read?
Completely from cover to cover.
Well, you lose it. You lose the point of the book if you don't read it cover to cover, yes.
Well, I'm halfway... Okay, so I'm
okay.
halfway through...
Half don't count. How many full books in the Warcraft universe have you read?
I plead the fifth.
Just to let you know, Dawnforge is a Canadian company. Canada does not have the fifth, so you cannot plead the fifth. My apologies. Is that what you're saying?
Darn it. Okay, so I haven't finished any of them, but I'm 95% through the book on Thrall. We own several of them. We own many of them. They're
you
on
just
a
never
bookshelf.
Read them?
I'm staring at them right now. I just haven't read them.
Okay, your homework going forward. One book a week.
What?
They're short books. I can read
yes,
one of them
sir.
A day. And I'm not talking the graphic novels either. I'm talking like novels.
Yes, I know. I just thanks. Are you reading the chat? I've just been banished to the caverns of time.
That's just because DG wants company. That's where he spends all his time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't read any of them, but I've started them. Oh, wait, I started the one... No, wait a minute. That's the Thrall one.
One thing I do want to bring up, since we are talking about lore and catching up on lore and stuff, while this isn't the WoW Insiders show, I do want to bring up an article that is on WoW Insider. If you go to WoWInsider.com and you, like, put in lore, there's a fairly recent article called something effective like a fresh source of lore resources. Sarah Pine wrote that article. It has tons of links to all sorts of places that you can go to find out about anything and everything lore related. I was just looking over that this past week. I thought it was an awesome article.
Hey Bella?
Yes?
I have somebody here who would like to say something to you.
Oh, no.
You are not prepared.
Yes, I am not prepared. Does it count if I have them all on my Kindle?
Pain. Agony.
Nope, I guess not. I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed. I got angry birded too.
Now that this show is completely gone off the rails, should we move on?
Oh,
hey,
sure.
I'm going to have to go through and listen to all the stuff I just played, so I toss them up to Sean. Come on. All right, let us move on though, because we have shamed Elizabeth enough.
Okay. So the next piece of news, it's been actually a relatively light news week, and that's why we've been kind of taking our time and going off on tangents and all that stuff, because there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff going on. But one little bit of community news that I thought was pretty neat and awesome is Blizzard is going to have a new blue poster. And that blue poster is none other than Josh Allen, who is known by many more people as Lore from TankSpot. He does the weekly Marmot and PST video casts on his YouTube channel. He's part of the Legendary podcast. He's done a whole lot of stuff in the WoW community. You can't mistake his hair whenever you see it. But I think it's just awesome that, you know, someone, a podcaster, someone who has done a lot for the community, is now going to be someone who gets to write in vague and cryptic blue text and tease us.
I'm really excited about this. Like, I am really psyched to see, like, his opinions. And he always has had a strong opinion, and I'm just so excited to see him join Blizzard. You know, it's something I know he's been wanting for a long time, and grats to Lore. Dreams do come true, buddy.
Absolutely, and it just goes to show that anyone involved in the World of Warcraft community and stuff has the potential to move forward and take what they talk about and what they've discussed and apply it to possibly something much bigger and better in their career. Now, that said, if you're getting into this whole community thing, if you get into blogging or podcasting or any of that stuff, I wouldn't hop into that stuff thinking, oh, if I do this stuff, I'm going to get hired by Blizzard. That's probably not going to happen. But you never know. I mean, if you're passionate about what you talk about, and if you put out something out there that over time a lot of people appreciate, good things will happen. But, you know, don't push for that stuff to happen. Do this kind of stuff because you just have a passion for doing it and you enjoy doing it. Don't think about the end result at the end of the road there. That's my advice. But all the same, I am very, very happy for Josh, and I hope I get to meet him at BlizzCon this year.
It's great to see people from the community, like you said, Ro, get that dream. You know, I was kind of joking with one of the on Twitter with one of the CMs that is actually taking care of Hearthstone right now while they're waiting to try and figure out what will be next. And, you know, they kind of said that I should try and apply for Blizzard, and that's not a realistic possibility for me because of a variety of factors, such as Canada and Dawnforge. But, you know, the idea that we, as people who do stuff for the community, work so hard to provide content and stuff for the community, get recognized occasionally like that, it feels great.
100%. I totally agree. I think it's just such a great community that we have as World of Warcraft and even as Blizzard. Like, I think we are part of an amazing community.
Very much agree. So, let me see here. What is our next topic?
Lore. More lore.
Hey,
but
hey,
a different lore.
Hey, Bella, how would you take that next story?
You're funny, right?
Yeah, I am.
You're funny, right? See, you didn't give me enough time to prepare for today. You gave me less than 24 hours.
Yeah, but you got bumped in less than 24 hours from guest to co-host. I mean, that's a pretty good improvement.
Very true.
I thought you'd agree. So, Blizzard did release a new story. It's focused on a Horty. So, I think I'm going to let Ro talk more about this, because he probably knows more about this person than I do, because I've never experienced their story in Pandaria.
If you play Alliance, and all you play is Alliance, and you've never played a Horde character in Pandaria, I'm, as someone who likes the storylines from both factions, you need to play a Horde character in Pandaria, and specifically the quest in Krasarang Wilds, because there is this very cool and interesting character called Sunwalker Desko, a Tauren Paladin. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about him because spoilers. So for you Alliance people that have never played a Horde character in Pandaria, I strongly urge you to play a Horde character in Pandaria. Go to Krasarang Wilds, do the quest there. You will find a quest line that, in my opinion, is perhaps one of the best written quest lines in the expansion, and arguably in several years of World of Warcraft. As far as this story goes, it's called Bleeding Sun. You can find it on the official World of Warcraft site in the Expanded Universe Destination Pandaria section, and it goes into more detail about Desko and the Shrine of Two Moons and the Veil of Eternal Blossoms, and exactly a bit more background about the characters and personality there. But it's a very Desko-centric story, and having read it, I thought it was a great addition to what was already an awesome quest line. I think Desko is perhaps one of the best things about the lore that was created in Pandaria. Desko was definitely a very welcome addition. Probably my favorite character in the storyline that was introduced back then.
Yeah, I've been leveling a Horde tune. She's level 86 right now. And my friend Jetrix Adun, he said to me, he goes, Bella, when you get to Krasarang Wilds, he goes, you let me know and we'll go do it together. Because I don't want you to do a certain quest chain by yourself. It'll hit you really hard. And I was like, uh-oh. Does that mean I'm going to cry?
There's a lot of feels.
Yeah, so eventually I'll get there, but he told me I had to finish Jade Forest first, and I couldn't skip anything, so I'm still not there yet.
Yeah, also, well, Jade Forest is definitely, that's a storyline that I would play beginning to end too. I think that outside of the Jade Forest storyline, I would say that quest chain in Krasarang was one of the better ones when you don't include the storyline content added in the patches. But yeah, I'm happy to see them putting up stories on the official World of Warcraft site that you don't have to necessarily buy. This is, you know, free lore content.
and it's part of the universe and stuff, and I just like to see them supporting the lore of the game more, and I encourage people to check that stuff out because it will add to the experience if you like the story of Warcraft.
Very much so. Free stories are great, especially for all of us who do like the extended story and do like to see what's going on besides what we see in game. There's so much more, so much stuff they can't explore and so much stuff they can't talk about in that game that we love so much, that you just really have to go and explore and experience all of those books and stories. But let's move on, shall we?
Yep, so let's move forward with a look back at something. Medros, did you ever get the opportunity to raid in the Firelands?
No.
Okay.
I did!
You got the opportunity to raid in the Firelands, Bella. Did you go against Major Domo Staghelm?
You mean the loot boss?
The loot boss that turned into a fire kitty and a scorpion, yes.
Yes.
Okay, did anyone in your group ever get the staff?
Yes, a couple people did, and they turned themselves into fire kitties.
Mm-hmm. So, if you're a druid, and you did not get the staff, and you haven't had the opportunity to turn into a fire kitty while in feral form, you're not out of luck. In fact, any druid, as long as you can manage to get one of your characters on your account into the Firelands, if you have a druid, you have the ability to turn into a firecat in feral form. This is something that was added in patch 5.2 that people had seen in the data mining. There was an item called a burning seed, which allows you to have that fire kitty effect while in feral form, but people didn't know where to find it or if it was even in the game. It was recently discovered that these burning seed items are in fact in the game, and they are located on the ground at the portal right before Major Domo Staghelm. So after you downed Bellrock and you have the cinematic where the bridge appears, and why the cinematic there is there to begin with, I have no idea. But after the cinematic, if you go by the portal and you're a druid, if you look at the ground, you will see little seed items that only druids can pick up. There should be 5 of them, and those are bind on account, so you can pass those to other druids on your account or whatnot. And yeah, use that, and for 1 hour you have the ability to become a fire kitty while you're in feral form, so that's awesome. While on one hand it kind of takes a little bit of the epicness away from having that staff, considering that's been pretty much a full expansion now since that was introduced, I'm cool with this. And it's nice to see them adding little Easter egg type things beyond just battle pets to old raid content. And I hope this is something they expand on in the future.
I love the fact that my druid can finally turn into the fiery cat that he's always deserved to be.
So that you can take a family picture with your Cinder Kitty?
I was so thinking of that!
See, the ironic thing is I actually have a picture of my druid in cat form looking down disapprovingly, I'd imagine, at his Cinder Kitty, because his Cinder Kitty's like doing a barrel roll. But I have not ever had the staff to make myself into one, so.
Well, yeah. Now you need to get a group together and go into the Firelands. If you go through the Firelands in normal mode at level 90, the stuff is pretty faceroll. You don't really have to try that hard. The only thing that's annoying is there's a little bit of trash, but you can probably get to Bellrock and get up to those seeds after about 45 minutes or so.
And you don't need a full group of 10 to do it on normal mode anymore, either.
No. No,
you could probably
you can
do it with
like 5 or 6.
Five or six, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun. I like going through there. Because there are some people that are still like collecting the shards, or you never know. It's a good old place to go, pick up some achievements, and it's a fun place. I have very bad memories of doing it when it was current. Bad ones of like.
Did you have to
rag...
take Shanix?
No, I actually was never considered that. Never did tank. I always would die to like the turtles. Because somebody in my group would always run up and pull a turtle. But I even have horrible memories of like killing Rag on heroic, ten man. Ugh. Bad. Just bad. I don't want to go back there. But I would go back if it meant helping Medros turn into a fire kitty.
Oh, there you go.
Well, okay. You've committed to me. Someday I'll go.
Just hit me up. I'll go with you. That's what CRZ is for, to help people out.
Yes. It is a place I've always wanted to go to. I do want the staff from there. I just don't think I'll ever have it. That's the sad part. But I say we move on, shall we?
Yeah.
Move on from my thoughts of sadness about not ever having the staff of the Fire Kitty. So we're going to talk about next about our second sponsor, which is the great folks over at Doghouse Systems. They make absolutely incredible gaming computers for gamers by gamers, and I really recommend you check them out. If you use the code BACON, you get double the memory, so 8 gigs now becomes 16. And who wouldn't want another 8 gigs of memory in their gaming computer? They stress test them, they make sure that they're going to run smoothly and excellently for you, and they are going to make sure your gaming rig is going to be able to run stuff now, from the past, and in the future, without any hassles at all. So again, I recommend checking them out. I guess again, doghousesystems.com, and we thank them for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely.
So, let's see here. We have to give away a prize. Just to yes. Know people in the chat room, this is not the prize I mentioned earlier.
No.
That prize is going away, given away at the end of the show, after we say our goodbyes.
Mm-hmm. But we do have a trivia question. This week, over at WoW Insider, the Know Your Lore article, Shade took a break from writing about Pandaria stuff to write about the Sunwell, and specifically Anvina, who was basically the avatar of the Sunwell, or kind of the last remnant of the Sunwell's power. She's a character that when a lot of people went to Sunwell Plateau and they see this human woman floating above the Sunwell, they're like, who's that woman trapped in the bubble? Why is she there? Because she was a character that was really only mentioned about in the manga for the Sunwell and all that. My question has to deal with the Sunwell. I hope this is an easy one. I would think it's an easy one. On the DG level of lore difficulty, that's a thing now. I would rate this on a scale of 1 to 10 on the DG lore difficulty scale. I'd say this is probably a 3 to 4.
Really? Because I didn't even know the answer. I'd rate it as a 10.
You didn't. Well, I think that this is going to depend on how long you've been playing the game. This is something that if you've been playing World of Warcraft long enough, you might know. And it's Sunwell related, so here we go. I'm not too worried about spelling here. I want to know what is used to restore the Sunwell's power following the battle against Kil'jaeden. So after Kil'jaeden is defeated, the Sunwell's power gets restored. What was used to restore it?
I don't know.
Blueberry muffins. I think we have a good enough answer. Yep.
Yeah, I think we do.
So, is that person eligible, Medros?
Check in here, 1 second.
Can I do the honors?
You can once Medros checks.
Sorry, I was muted. My apologies. Yes, eligible. Yes, you may.
Okay. Okay, go for it, Bella.
And the winner is Corian! Yay!
Corian said Muru's core, which is close enough. If you want to get all specifically wordy about it, it was a spark of Muru, which was one of the bosses in Sunwell Plateau that you defeated. It was the Naru that was originally captured power siphoned off of to fuel the Blood Knights, the Blood Elf Paladins, and then Kael'thas comes back to Silvermoon, kidnaps Muru, brings Muru over to Sunwell. You fight Muru. Muru turns into a all shadowy and tropious and everything, but the remnants of Muru were used to help reignite the Sunwell. So yes, grats, Corian, and what'd you win?
And Muru, that's Ilune's third cousin, right? Twice removed?
Twice removed, yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Sounds good.
Let's see. Bella, I'm going to have you choose between a number between 7. 1 and 7.
Okay, do I say it?
Yes.
7.
Okay. So, Corianne, you receive a little KT pet key. Congratulations.
Grats.
You will receive that via message in... yeah, that's it. sorry, in Twitch. ASAP, I promise.
So, Bella's already got to hear from MacGyver once tonight. How about we let her hear from him again?
I don't know if she can handle it.
Oh, boy.
But let's
now,
try.
Did
let's
you
try.
Let MacGyver know beforehand, or is he surprised too?
I'm going to let him decide if he'd figured it out. I did not explicitly say so. Let's put it that
oh
way.
Oh, boy.
But let's listen to a bit of spare parts while that goes, that discussion happens.
This is Spare Parts, your World of Warcraft engineering questions answered.
Hi, Junior Engineers. This week we'll be looking at an item that will save you lots of time and money at the auction house looking for old materials, the Zapthrottle Moat Extractor. When the journey into Outland was made, it was discovered that the elemental clouds located there could be harvested, and the elemental particles within concentrated into moats, which could then power fantastic magical and mechanical devices. Of course, extracting these moats either came down to luck while mining a node, or perhaps killing a creature carrying one, until this device was invented. The Zapthrottle Moat Extractor is a device that can be used to harvest certain elemental clouds to create elemental moats used in trade skills. When it is built, it will allow you to track the gas clouds in Outland and in Northrend. The extractor can then be clicked when you are within range of these clouds and the elements within them are sucked out and into your bag, all automatically. In Outland, extracting windy clouds, such as those found in the Grand, will yield motes of air. Extracting arcane vortexes in Netherstorm will yield you motes of mana. And extracting fell mists in Shadowmoon Valley will yield you motes of shadow. Swamp gas clouds in Zangarmarsh will yield motes of water. In Northrend, the extractor can be used on steam clouds in Burien Tundra and Sholazar Basin to extract crystallized water and crystallized fire. On cinder clouds in Dragonblight and Sholazar Basin to extract crystallized fire. And on arctic clouds in Howling Fjord and Dragonblight to extract crystallized water and crystallized air. The motes and crystallized elements can be combined from stacks of 10 into one primal and one eternal element of the same name. These can be used in lots of different recipes in lots of different trade skills, or can be sold on the auction house. To build your own Zapthrottle Moat Extractor, you will first need to get the schematic, and the only way to get the schematic is to head to Zangarmarsh. First, you will need to be at least engineering skill level 390. If you are Alliance, you will need to speak to Kaylee Smallfry, who is a little lady gnome engineer trainer located in the Alliance settlement of Tel'Rador. And if you're a Horde, you will need to speak to Mac Diver. That's an interesting name. A troll wearing a funky diving helmet and standing in the village of Zabrigin. Both of them will offer you a quest called the Zapthrottle Moat Extractor, which will send you off to the Dead Mire in the northeast corner of Zangarmarsh to collect 15 steam pump parts. Once you return these parts to the respective engineering trainer, they will gift you with a schematic for the Zapthrottle Moat Extractor. Once you have learned it, to actually build the device you will need 2 fell iron casings, 2 handfuls of fell iron bolts, 4 primal life elements, and this is the big one, a delicate arcanite converter. This one will be the trickiest part. To build a delicate arcanite converter, you will first need to be skill level 285 and then get the schematic from Zizza Fizzbolt, an engineering supply vendor in Everlook in Winterspring. A delicate arcanite converter is made from an arcanite bar and an iron web spider silk. And the arcanite bar is also rare. This is created by alchemists at skill level 275 by combining a thorium bar and an arcane crystal. Once you finally have all of these rare parts together, combine them in an anvil with your blacksmith hammer and arclight spanner or your gnomish army knife. And there you have it, the perfect way to extract those old valuable motes while you are travelling around in the older worlds. Unfortunately, the Zathrottle mote extractor does not seem to have the power to extract anything from anything higher than the Northrend creatures, meaning it's fairly much unusable in either the Cataclysm zones or in Pandaria. But perhaps in the future there'll be some kind of new extractor to harness the power of the elements in those places. And that's it for this week. Spare Parts is downloadable direct from iTunes, from spareparts.podomatic.com, or downloadable on Stitcher Radio for the full catalogue of past segments. So, until next time, stay safe, make sure you don't accidentally extract any critters by mistake, and tinker with Bright.
Elizabeth, would you like to thank Moon for his segment?
Yes, MacGyver, that was a wonderful segment. Thank you so much for your contribution this week. Love it every time.
So let's move on to our question of the week. And yes, thank you very much, Moo, for a great segment, as always.
Alright, so last week we left people with the question, where would you like the next WoW expansion to take place? And since we didn't have you on last week, Bella, where would you like the next WoW expansion to take place?
Well, I think that I would like it to take place somewhere entirely new, somewhere we haven't been yet, where we could, you know, experience places we've never been. I know we've done the whole, like, Asian Oriental type of thing. I'd like to see maybe another world that represents just, I don't know, maybe metropolitan, but kind of like old school metropolitan, like kind of steampunk, maybe. I don't know, actually, to be honest.
No, I know what you're getting at. Kind of an area that has a, you could almost say, steampunk meets Star Wars Coruscant in some way.
Yeah, kind of like that. Like, my husband and I have been watching this new show called Defiance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a race in there, and I can't remember the name of it, but they're all very, like, steampunk. But I could see something taking place, like, in Defiance that's, like, World of Warcraft.
Well, there is a little, supposedly, in theory, a steampunk universe being crafted in the works in the realm of Blizzard, known as Project Titan. At least that's what people say, that Project Titan is going to have steampunk elements in it. So while it may not happen next expansion, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw some form of crossover between the two properties at some point, if Titan actually ends up being something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I... Like, LeGrayson hit the nail on the head in the chat room. He goes, Victorian-era Gothic. Yeah, something like that. I want something new, and plus it would make killer transmog. Can you imagine steampunk transmog? Oh my god! It's like a wowgasm! Steampunk transmog!
Hey, Moo? I'm pretty sure I can say that she's an engineer at heart.
Really?
I'm going to say yes. I think that's the case here.
Well, Bella, we have a number of people who answered on Twitter. How about you read the first batch of answers there?
Sure. At Old Gnome says, well, more of a patch idea. New Tinkertown. Gnomes need their city back. Oh, I like that one. Let's see. At Dendroy says, a return to dragons and demons instead of pandas.
Why can't you have both?
Right? You could have totally both. Let's see.
We can have dragons eating pandas. Oh, wait a minute. No.
Excuse me? Dragons don't eat pandas. Pandas could eat the dragons, but I don't know.
You have seen the size of the average pandaren versus the average size of a dragon in Warcraft, right?
Well, the pandas could just sit on the dragon and hope for the best. And then more pandas could come, and it could be a panda sitting party.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I'm Okay. Adiji's got a good plan. You call it Pandaren Express.
Yes, Pandaren Express. You know they make Chinese restaurants Panda Express. Anyways, back to the Twitter feeds. Swingless Blog. I would really like an expansion into the Emerald Dream / Nightmare.
Before we go on, I need to comment about this. The Emerald Dream, Emerald Nightmare thing, so many people bring that up as a possibility and stuff, and the only thing I have to say about that is, what the heck would be there? I mean, it's, in theory, it's supposedly like the what Azeroth was like before the Shattering and all of that, but you're not gonna have any towns there. You may have some areas that are corrupted by the Emerald Nightmare, but I don't think there's enough different things in the Emerald Dream to dedicate a whole expansion to it. I think you could do a patch cycle with the Emerald Dream in it. I don't think there's enough for a whole expansion.
A scenario or two, maybe?
Oh, sure.
And, yeah, of course, an old
definitely.
God.
Definitely. So our next one is from @TheJoshuaMuscat. And it says, all of Azeroth, old gods imprisoned on Azeroth, have been released, and we assist Titans in stopping them for good. Would be epic.
In 40 levels.
At some point.
Yeah, I agree. @JeremyTStevens, another interdimensional journey against the Burning Legion. Needs more starships and space pirates and more cowbell. See, I think we may see the Burning Legion in the next expansion as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you listen to a certain dragon, then you may be right.
Yeah, I agree. But I really would like to see the Burning Legion come back.
Alright, so you got one more here? I think this one's been saved specifically for you.
Aww. From @JetrickSadoon, would love to get a zone in the elemental plane for wind, sky cities like Vortex Pinnacle Plox, possibly Northrend again, specifically the Nerubian zones underground. Always loved the creepy vibe down there.
I have a feeling, and I don't know when exactly it'll happen, but I have a feeling that Northrend will be visited again at some point in the life cycle of World of Warcraft. There's some stuff there that can be explored, especially with a different Lich King there.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll go ahead and take the next few here. Nevik from Shattered Soulstone, a Dawn Forge podcast for Diablo, says, Sanctuary, Adur. He actually tweeted, Adur. @WingtipsWalt says, Tel Abim, I hear they have fantastic bananas. @Nomergon Forever says, we need to defend Azeroth from the return of the Titans. Only then will our destiny be our own. That's an interesting perspective, defending Azeroth from the Titans. Who cares about the old gods? But kind of an interesting thing. We don't really know if the Titans are actually good or evil. We just know they're anti-old god, really.
And we're assuming that the Titans are good and that they're going to help us.
Right. And you know what assumptions do sometimes.
Exactly.
@Moses D. Jr. says, I would like to be taken to another planet because we need another massive change of scenery again. @SpiderCav says, a world-connecting event would be sweet. @Rosewind says, any of these for next expansion, the Emerald Dream, Illidan or Outland or both. Titan thing in Azeroth or another world / plane. And last for my group here, Noxichu says, more Outland stuff, very pretty zones, pretty gear, needs more love. I'm sure there are more stories out there. And I'm going to pause for just a sec to shamelessly plug Noxichu, who's the illustrator for Wowhead, and I just want to say thank you, Noxichu, for making a terrific piece of art, which I'm now using as my Twitter avatar, and which will be used as a badge for BlizzCon. And if you follow @Rowell on Twitter, you can see that art. So yeah, I'm very happy with that. Anyway,
it's really beautiful. I saw it. It's pretty.
I don't have
awesome looking. I don't know if I say pretty, but it's I guess my character is a blood elf, so yeah, whatever.
That's why I said it was pretty, because blood elves are just so cute. They just have these adorable little faces, and you just want to squeeze their little cheeks as they dance naked on top of mailboxes.
Oh, man. Medros, do you want to get the rest?
Yeah, let's move away from naked mailbox dancing, please. Den HW says, I'd like to return to a more classic fantasy setting. Revan Don says, a whole different world we've never seen, new content to explore, maybe new rules and gameplay while on it. Jessica Chaos says, a new planet, as awesome as Pandaria is, I think we need a break from Azeroth for a bit. Adina 2011 says, another space expansion and let the Burning Legion on. Let's take the Burning Legion on. Cosmic Kiri says, Outland. I'm not going to try. Someone making Zengar Marsh and Negran relevant again. Talbuk Field PvP. Stormraiser TE says, after playing Bioshock Infinite, I think an expansion in a sky world would be awesome. Just really huge. Think TOFW. I don't know what that means.
Throne of the Four Winds.
Throne of the Four Winds,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a rating thing, so. Yeah,
Throne of the Four Winds was really awesome.
You weird raiders in your acronyms.
Says the person doing Raid Finder now.
Whatever.
We actually did get an email answer to this, too, and didn't have a character name, so I'm just going to say this email was from Doug, and he wrote, given what we know about where Mists of Pandaria is heading, especially as it pertains to Garrosh, I think that a big part of the next expansion will have to take place in the classic zones, as both factions will have to react and adjust to the changes within the Horde leadership and whatever direction the Horde goes once Garrosh is deposed as leader. I think that's a great point. Here's the thing, and I might save this as a question of the week for maybe a week or two down the line, because we got a good question coming up for this week. But does an expansion always have to have a new piece of land or area to explore? Now, Cataclysm did a bit of both. It redid a lot of the old world content, but also gave us a few new zones to explore. I'm wondering, can the game handle an expansion where there's not necessarily a whole lot of new zones or stuff to explore, maybe even no new zones, but you just continue the story and the progression of the game?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
It's food for thought for sure, but like I said, we can save that as a question for a couple weeks down the line. This week's question, Lizabella actually came up with this one, so I'll let you take it away.
Sure. This week's question is, what are you looking forward to most in patch 5.3?
How about you take the answer first? What are you looking for? Well, I guess we already answered that a bit earlier, didn't we?
I think so. But what I'm most looking forward to is something new. Since I've kind of stepped back a little bit and I'm not really doing as much progression raiding right now, I'm really looking forward to some new scenarios, to some new content, and just something new to do. You know, as with every patch, there's always something new and exciting that's on the horizon, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to the new adventures.
Personally, I'd have to say I'm looking forward to... It's a toss-up for me. Heroic scenario stuff sounds great. I'm really looking forward to the most recent part of the legendary chain that's being added, where Rathion will be getting help from the August Celestials, or August Celestials, whatever.
I always said August, like the month, August Celestials.
You know, 95% of people say August Celestials because they see the word and they think the month, but apparently you're supposed to say August.
Spell it like August, Blizzard.
Well, it's not Blizzard's fault.
August is also spelled the same way.
Yes.
Anywho.
Think about exalted instead of a month.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Medros, real quick from you, what are you looking forward to most in patch 5.3 and in 140 characters or less?
Beginning the downfall of Gurosh, invading Orgrimmar soon, rebellion, yay. I think that's 140 characters less.
I'm also excited about achievements. More new achievements to get.
How many achievement points do you have roughly, like to the nearest 1,000?
I would say almost 15,000.
Wait, what? You might have more achievement points than me. Now I feel threatened.
I like achievements. I love them.
Apparently.
And I do them. I have a lot of raiding achievements, too, because I've done a lot of raiding. Like, I've been playing WoW since 2008, so when they introduced achievements, like, I got a lot of feats of strength. I have a lot of awkward achievements. Like, I have my Bloodsail Admiral's title. Yeah, I have a lot of weird ones. We'll have to sit and compare achievements one of these days.
Well, Ro, you still feel superior to me because I only have 7,800.
Yes.
But there was also a time where I was unemployed and did nothing but eat, sleep, and play WoW.
I've been there. I think that's when I got the bulk of my achievements.
Me too! Yep.
Fortunately, I have a little bit more of a life right now. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I have hardly any time to play right now, but I also, like, did all the holidays, and then I've done them again, and I've, like, collected pets, and I like to do some of the weird off-the-wall achievements. Like, I have a lot of the reputation ones for some of the old reputations, because some of them are really easy to get now.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'd like to thank add-ons for helping me get to that point, too.
Oh, absolutely. Plenty of people thank add-ons for that. I try to go relatively add-on free with that stuff. I don't even know why I go add-on free. I just do.
Well, you gotta have an add-on that takes a picture of your screenshot automatically.
I actually don't.
When I ding
achievements, I don't even do that. I just kind of let the armory speak for itself.
Well, I think it's, like, the blogger in me, because sometimes if I've worked really hard on an achievement, I'll blog about it. But, like, I have two add-ons. I have one that's actually called Kodak Moment that takes pictures of your screenshots. And it also takes pictures, like, when you level or when you win battlegrounds. Or you can set it up to take shots of pretty much everything. And also Achievement Screenshotter. They're good stuff.
And, really quickly before we move on to the last bits of the show... We've kind of just assumed that a lot of people know who you are from, you know, your previous podcast stuff and your blog and such, but for people that are just getting to know you for the first time, you know, why don't you plug your blog a little bit and talk about that?
Sure. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Elizabella. I've been playing WoW since April of 2008, but I've been blogging more recently since, actually, we are approaching... Tomorrow is my blog's one-year anniversary, which is kind of... I know, it's kind of funny. I think it's either the 7th or the 8th. That's my one-year anniversary. And I started blogging about WoW. And my blog is called The Elizabella Chronicles. And kind of our tagline is killing dragons, looking good, and keeping your sanity in the World of Warcraft. And it first started out where I would just do all the writing. And then I had friends of mine that I play in the game with that have sort of become my real-life friends, too. And they all had interesting perspectives. So I was like, hey, you know, do you want to share your story? Do you want to write about your experiences in the World of Warcraft? And they were like, yeah, sure. So I opened it up, and now I have several fellow friends of mine and fellow gamers that also write things for me. And I give them a forum where they can post their own experiences about World of Warcraft. And it's just been an amazing adventure. And, you know, as I've developed more as a gamer, I've kind of changed a little bit how the blog goes. But there are, like, different sections, and I have a transmog section and, you know, different sections about factions and classes and the 20-day blog challenge, which has taken me like 90 days and I'm still not done. You know, things like that. And it's just a fun little blog. You can find it at elizabella.mainegamers.com. And, you know, if you like to write and you're kind of like, I don't really want to start my own blog. Because, you know, sometimes that can be a really daunting task for people. To be like, oh my god, I don't know how to do it. It's so hard for formatting. How am I going to host it? You know, drop me a line and we can talk. And I would be more than welcome to host your writing. I'm all for new writers. And I'm all for people that just want to share their stories about the World of Warcraft. Because this game is amazing. And we all have our own stories to tell. And I like to share those stories. So that's kind of a little bit about me, I guess, as a blogger. As a gamer, I play a Alliance Death Knight on the Undermine US server in the guild Mostly Harmless. We are a progression raiding guild, doing 25-man content and 10-man content. And we're pushing it, you know, as a guild. We are 8 of 12, no, 8, 9, 10 of 12, because they just killed two more bosses, I believe, but don't quote me on that one, and they're pushing it and having fun, and they're just a great group of people, and I'm loving it, loving playing WoW, play with my husband, play with my friends, and it's just what I love to do.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely include a link to your blog in the show notes again, so people have another way to check that out. And, you know, just again, it was said at the beginning of the show, I'll say it again now, I'm very happy to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to a lot of great episodes to come.
Thank you. I'm excited for the change that's coming. Many of you have heard me on Epic Questions before. I don't really know what's going to happen with Epic Questions. It's not my place to talk about it anymore. I don't want to start rumors or feed anything, but sometimes things happen and you need to make a change. As I've said many times before, if you're not having fun, something's wrong and you need to make a change. So I, you know, did what I had to do and here we are.
That's more than understandable. So, yep. I guess
but
we
as,
should... I'm sorry,
as
go ahead.
Corian just updated me in the chat room that the guild just got Prog and Dark Animus last night. So, nice. We're 5 of 12 in 25-man, and I guess 10 of 12 in normal.
In 10-man.
10-man awesome. Normal. Holy bananas! Go Mostly Harmless!
I am 0 out of 12 in normal Throne of Thunder.
You just gotta find the right group of people to go with. Like, we were really banging our heads on the wall, and then for some reason we just, like, broke through, and one of the raid leaders was like, hey, we have enough people. Let's do a 25-man and see what happens. And we did it.
Personally, I think when it comes to normal mode raiding, I'm kind of just keeping things casual for this tier. I'll do the stuff when I get to it. I actually still need to finish off normal modes of the earlier tier, and I'm going to try to get some of that stuff done with Cross Realm Zone help. I think with this final tier, when we assault Orgrimmar and take down Garrosh, I'm going to try to find a raid team for normal mode raiding then. I think by that point, the group that I'm with right now will still probably be working on earlier content, so I don't really see there being any conflicts there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see how that goes.
But I haven't killed those bosses. I personally am like 2 of 12, maybe 3 of 12. Because I just haven't... I've been so sick and just so tired, and I haven't really, you know, had any time to raid, and... So I'm just, like, cheering the guild on and rooting for them to do what they do. You know, I figure I'll kill it all eventually. I didn't have a problem last patch or last go-around. I killed everything on normal mode before the new tot drop, so I should be fine.
Yeah. Well,
I guess we got some stuff to tell people about before we get out of here. Yes, Medros?
Yeah, we do have a few things to pass along. We did launch last week our Give to Get contest, which is basically you tell us somebody who you think deserves something. There's our prize package, which is a pretty cool prize package, if I may say so myself. If the person that you recommended with your kind words gets the prize, you will also get a prize, and we'll also be giving away three prizes to people who randomly sent entries in. So definitely get your entries in early. We'd love to hear them, and we do look forward to giving away some cool prizes. So your generosity can earn you a little reward yourself. So check that out on the All Things Azeroth website. And look for a review of a new book coming out soon on ATA in the morning, if you're listening live, I guess. If you're listening to download, it's already there, so why haven't you read it yet?
I haven't read it yet.
Because it's not up yet.
No, I mean, I haven't read the book yet.
It's not out yet.
Oh. Well, see, that makes sense.
This one, I can't blame you for not having read yet.
I probably won't have time to read it anyway, so, you know, it'll be fine.
But this one has lots of really nice pictures.
It has pictures?
Yes, it's a graphic novel.
Oh, I'll be sure to read it. I'm just playing with you guys. I love to read books. I really do. I just have a short attention span. And I'll be reading something and... Oh, look, a squirrel! Oh, boy.
Well, I think that's about it. Is there any other shots we needed there, Ro?
I think we're good to go. The only question I have for you, you know, just if you take a quick look at the show notes, is that going to be her new email address?
If that's what she wants.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. By the time this is published...
Because I go by that anyways.
By the time this is published, that'll be the email setup.
All right.
Because I go by Bella anyways, so...
Yep. Good. I'm going to try to get myself more used to calling you Bella, because like half the time I'm calling you Elizabeth, half the time I'm calling you Bella. Eventually, I'm just going to say Bella.
Hey, you're better than me. I'm three quarters Elizabeth and a quarter Bella, so you're ahead of me on that one.
You can call me either one, boys. I'm okay with either. I answer to both.
All right. Well, if you guys want to get a hold of us, you can leave us a voicemail at 1785-ATA-WOW5 or 1785-282-9695. Emails, you can email the show at show@allthingsazeroth.com. Medros is medros@allthingsazeroth.com. I am ro@allthingsazeroth.com. And Bella is bella@allthingsazeroth.com. You can find us on Twitter @AllThingsAZ, Medros is @Medros, Elizabella is @_Elizabella, I am @Rowow, and Dawn Forge Productions is @DawnForge. As always, please check out the other shows from Dawn Forge Productions, including Group Quest, All Things Edible, Halfway Around the World, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, The Chaos Portal, Obscure Cast, Let's Wow, and the Steam Forge Podcast.
Indeed, and we do have a promo this week from a show. Bella?
Yes?
Prepare yourself.
Oh my goodness. What is it?
On this week's episode of Chaos Portal, who let the moo out?
I've never personally, liked cat.
Huh! How arrogant can you possibly be? You are unplayable. Go delete yourself.
Okay, while I put out the flames over here, Alice?
Their characters are their pixel Barbies.
And I think everybody can remember the great BM Wrath of the Lich King.
For the complete show, check us out at chaosportalshow.com, iTunes, or Stitcher.
So we'll be back next week, so take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of, hey, it's Bella.
Take care, guys.
Have a wowtastic week and stay fabulous.
Let me put this as clearly as I can. If you leave epic questions, you will have a home at ATA.
What?
We've been looking for a third chair for a long time.
We've been looking for a third seat for quite a while, and
Are you serious?
Pretty much. It's something that Medros and I have talked about for a bit, and I think that you do a relatively good job on the podcast. That you're talkative, and personally, when it comes to saying things like cute, cuddly, and squishy, that stuff like that's been said on ATA before. All I have to say, is "Foo Foo McFluffy Roar Pants." So
yes, "Foo Foo McFluffy Roar Pants."
Any show that can say "Foo Foo McFluffy Roar Pants," I think, can handle the words "cute, cuddly, and squishy."
My husband is standing here looking at me funny. He heard me yell "boobies" from the other end of the house and came into his office, and he's like, "What the hell is going on in here?"
But, at any rate, yeah, and I'm sorry, Isabella, if I haven't said anything about that up to this time. Part of the reason we wanted you on Monday was, among other things, besides just having you on the show, was, you know, to give you an opportunity to have the third seat, check it out, see what you think. I'm totally behind Medros with his invitation, and yeah.
Oh my god.
Now that said,
oh my god,
I'm gonna ask you to leave epic questions. Either way, you're welcome on ATA. I don't want to be one of the podcasters who sits there and tries to steal other shows' co-hosts. But it sounds like you're, you know, three quarters of a step out of the door, so.
Oh my god. Oh my god, do you realize what they just asked me? Yes! Do you realize?
This has been a production of Dawnforge. Copyright 2013. Find great podcasts and more at thedawnforge.com.